Howdy, crew. You are listening to The Profundity Podcast, a podcast hosted by me, Andrew Ripple, a human who says words like 9 times out of 10. Ugh, this is certainly a day. This is certainly a day. Though, hey, here's a fun update. This is the first day in like 2 weeks where I have woken myself up at a reasonable hour because this is boring and important thing, but I have attempted doing a thing where, like, not closing the blinds when sleeping, so that way, like, sunrise is a thing that naturally wakes you up, because that's how humans do things. But just, I don't know, for the last couple weeks, it's been more and more and more difficult to get myself up out of bed in the morning in a timely fashion, mostly because there's nothing, like, calendrical that I needed to do at the, particularly at the hours of the day. I don't have any early morning classes that, or actually, I don't have any early morning classes that do not record their lectures on the internet in a video file that is able to be watched, and especially a video file that is able to be watched at a faster speed than it would take to actually do it in real life, because unfortunately you cannot do a 1.5x speed up on real life. Ooh, that almost got profound right there. But no, so I have been finding that every morning it's like, oh, it's hard to wake myself up in the morning because, like, why? Well, what is there to do? But that being said, on, like, I know that it's a thing that I should be doing and thing that I've been attempting to do more and more, because if it's a day that I, on days that I wake myself early, they feel like better days. The day itself goes better than it does on a day that I do not do that. If it's a day that I let flounder in bed until 10 or something like that, then that overall is probably not going to be a great day. But if it's a day that I get up early, and it's not even so much that I do productive things early in the morning, it's actually that I just dick around on the internet for the first several minutes, but several hours, but I feel okay about dicking around on the internet because I get the dicking around on the internet out of my system by like 9:30, and then I can actually spend the rest of the day doing rest of the day things, and that's a lovely, wonderful, neato burrito thing that can exist in this world. But yeah, now this, oofa doofa, this quarter has been a struggle and a half. It's been a rough one, both class-wise. Classes are difficult. One class in particular is just very, very hard, and then there's another class, which I may have mentioned before. It's a class I'm taking that's actually on podcast production, which is really fun. And it's kind of neat, because I'm learning cool audio production stuff, but it's taught by a guy who is a radio producer, has worked for This American Life, and has worked for Radiolab and stuff like that, and it's very much a, it's being run through a program at my school that it focuses on narrative nonfiction storytelling, and so they have a radio show that is a complete and utter This American Life clone, but a very good This American Life clone. Again, originality is overrated. Originality is wildly overrated, and there's no point in being, that's a whole rant that I can go on at some point. What we think of as creativity is really just the act of smashing together two or more previously existing ideas in new and unique ways. There is no such thing as a wholly original idea, and there's nothing wrong with being a copycat, because the skill is in the execution, not in the originality of the idea. So this class is very much focused on that idea of narrative nonfiction. Not journalism, but narrative nonfiction storytelling. So stuff like This American Life, stuff like the, you know, it could range of, mostly I've been listening to a lot of Radiolab, because I got to meet Jad Abumrad, which was very exciting and very fun. He's a producer for Radiolab. He came and did a talk at our school, and I got to, A, go see the talk for free, which was really fun. Got to meet him very briefly in a reception beforehand, for which I felt really bad for the guy, because he had to go give a talk and a performance, and now he's being swarmed by students asking him questions about the very sort of things he's going to be talking about in his talk, and I'm thinking about myself as a performer, and, like, I don't mind being swarmed by people before performing. I actually kind of like it, because it's distracting, but it needs to be distracting. It's not distracting if it is about the very thing that I'm going to be talking about. That being said, I haven't performed, well, I haven't done any sort of, like, remotely legitimate performancing in a while. I played guitar briefly with my dad's dad rock band over winter break, which was hilarious. But I'm not counting that as performing, because it, I just stood up there and played guitar. But for this class, it's all about narrative nonfiction journalism. Not journalism, narrative nonfiction storytelling, and it's just not the kind of stuff that I listen to very often, and not my favorite kind of stuff. I think it's just not the aesthetic that I pry from radio. I think I do definitely think I've discussed this before, but I as you can probably tell, considering this is the stuff that I do, I am much more of a fan of things that are sort of long form, things that are unedited, things that, and even long form and unedited are actually, this is the thing that I haven't discussed very much. I have nothing against, I have nothing against producing show in post-production or anything like that. Like, that's fine. Obviously, it's a skill thing and I'm learning how to do it. And like, obviously people like it because your radio labs and such are always top of the charts. And so, yeah, it's good, objectively good quality content. But I like producing, actually, but I love producing in a live sense. So I actually really enjoy shows like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me that are, yeah, they're edited on the back end, but that are the, or shows to an extent like Too Beautiful to Live, TBTL, is a show that I've gotten back into listening because it's a bit of a Seattle icon, not Seattle icon, but Seattle stalwart in terms of podcastery. Hosted by Luke Burbank, who also was a guest host on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me several times. But I like those shows that are, there's work and effort sort of put into making the thing happen live in one or very few takes, and less effort is put onto the, yeah, I like it if the production skill and the effort is front-loaded on making sure things go without a hitch or go at least entertainingly live with one pass, and putting all the work into pre-planning beforehand is much more entertaining for me. It's much more of an interesting skill to like, hey, can, I'm fascinated by the kinds of people that can talk for a couple hours and be entertaining throughout. Like, that's a neat skill, and that's a skill that I think, I mean, again, like, as you may not have heard this, because that being said, at this point everyone that listens to it is a friend who's already listened to it in the past, but if people in the future are listening to this new sort of rebranded version of the show that is starting back over from after a long pod creepy hiatus, a big sort of idea behind doing this is to get better at just talking in front of microphones and figuring out stuff to say and saying, hey, if you don't have a plan and don't know what you're going to talk about, can you still fill half an hour of monologizing? I'm getting better about it. I think I'm getting better about it. I forgot to do an important task that isn't a necessity for recording this thing. Not really a necessity. I don't even know necessarily how helpful it is, but it is, I don't know. It's a fun little good luck charm of the picture of the audience member, because I have selected the one person that, who certainly does not listen to this show, but I want to think of as my stereotypical dream audience member. And that is the person. Then I have a picture up on my screen and I will discuss and direct the rest of this episode towards the picture of the dream audience member, who, again, I know almost certainly for a fact does not listen to this thing. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, talking about, yeah. So this is my very, very long and roundabout way of saying that that class is very much focused on a thing that I don't necessarily like as much, and it is becoming a little bit frustrating. I'm also, there's other frustrations that I have with the class that are more specific with the class, of the fact that this is the first time this class is being taught by this teacher, and the class is very overambitious in terms of the things that it wants us to do and expects us to have time to do, and also just doesn't seem to have any structure. And even on the, like, here's the thing that always frustrates me in classes is when teachers complain about not having enough time to do the stuff they want to do when we spend a lot of time not prioritizing and focusing on the important stuff anyway. So it's like, you know, while I agree in this particular case that, yeah, probably having a longer class period would be helpful for this class, it needs to go hand in hand with a much more careful and thorough lens to the kinds of things that we do in the class, because we could probably get most of the way in terms of doing all the things that he wants to do, the important things that he wants to do, by not doing some of the less important and less beneficial activities and discussions and stuff like that. So I think time prioritization is probably a more helpful skill for this class, and will end up serving it better in the long run than just adding more time onto the edges of everything. Husky voice. So there's that class. But then also the other thing is like, this is the thing that always frustrates me and gets me contrariany when there's anything sort of creative, is when things are framed as this is the way to do things rather than a way to do things, or even necessarily the best way to do a specific tiny little thing. And this is the thing that bugged me with design classes that I took, of saying, you know, this is, if they had just prefaced a lot, and this is why I kind of like the advanced class a little more than the beginner class, is if they just prefaced it with saying, look, this is the way we're going to teach you, because it's good to know a structure, and then you can choose to break out of that structure later once you know what it is, then I think I would have been much more okay with it. But the fact that they didn't ever say that, they just said, this is how to design, rather than saying, honestly, they just said, this is a way to design instead of the way to design. Some of something with this class and saying, like, this is the way to make good radio is to do very well-produced NPR-style narrative nonfiction storytelling. And me sitting there thinking, like, okay, I understand that this is the focus of this class. And if you had just said, this is the, we're going to explore the best ways to do narrative nonfiction storytelling. And I don't know. I mean, part of it is also me being a little complaining of, like, okay, yeah, you know, I'm not going to expect our teacher and the students to every single time put a little disclaimer when they say, do I like this or not? Or is this a good piece or not? To say, is this a good piece of the specific type of narrative nonfiction radio that we're trying to do? No, that's silly. So it makes sense that they could shorten it to, like, is this a good radio piece and blah, blah, blah. And maybe that's maybe that's what the teacher thinks is going on, is saying that, like, you know, I'm saying this, and what I mean by this is whenever I say, is this good radio? I mean, is this good radio of this particular form? But I don't know, as someone who just, it's not my favorite style, It rubs me the wrong way occasionally, so I don't know. But truthfully, way, way, way more than anything else, the biggest problems with the class are just that it is not a very well-run class, content aside. But anyway, that is not what this episode is about. That is not what this episode is about, because what this episode is about, is a fun little obsession that has sprouted over the last month and then took an interesting tweak over the last weekend, in that I finally started watching The Bachelor this season. And this is, I think, season 20 or something like that. But, and I have heard that it is not the greatest season, all things considered, which I could see why. You know, the girls are not, it does not have as much of the drama as apparently other seasons have had, and it's actually relatively tame, and it's interesting in ways of, like, the quote-unquote villain of the show thus far, Olivia, is some of the quote-unquote villainous things she's doing are just her being a dick, but the rest of them are just like, okay, but this is The Bachelor. I feel like that's how you should play the game, and you guys should sort of know to an extent what you're getting into. Things like, hey, she's just trying to make sure that she gets as much time with Ben, the Bachelor, as possible. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you're doing. You're on a weirdo reality TV show, and then there's this, I don't know, there seems to have been sort of a bond of non-confrontationalism going around the rest of the ladies, which has sort of led to what it seems like good game playing being regarded as villainy. But I don't know. It's interesting, though. It's, I guess, sort of on the broader phenomenon, because I don't know, it's not as interesting to talk specifically about this particular season, especially as someone who doesn't know much about it and is getting into this world for the first time. That being said, I've watched some reality shows, but almost all the reality shows that I watched before now, I took a big long break of not really watching any, but I would watch a shit ton of Food Network cooking shows and a couple other cooking shows on network television, especially Hell's Kitchen. Hell's Kitchen was my jam. Love me some Hell's Kitchen. And then I would watch, I watched a season of American Idol. It was the Taylor Hicks and Catherine McPhee season, which is interesting. Sidebar, talking about Catherine McPhee, there's a podcast that I love that's being hosted by BuzzFeed. And the sidebar on the sidebar is that a few summers ago, I worked for another online humor website for whom BuzzFeed is the far and away number one competitor and the best player in that space, even at that point, and now has just gotten even bigger and better and done more and more really cool things. And the job that I was hired to do was to talk, basically to be, hey, you're a millennial, what can we do to make sure that millennials keep going to our site, and figure out what sort of content and what sort of platforms to target. And I gave some pitches and proposals. Pitches and proposals, by the way, that were never heeded, but were then used by BuzzFeed and other sites like that to very great effect, so called it 2 years ago. 2 years later, everyone is following the trend that I called, and this site chose not to follow any of it, so whatever. No actual shade, they're lovely people, and we were paid the minimumest of minimum wages for about a month, and my actual job ended up doing much more valuable kind of semi-useful things, not for the iOS team of all things. So I love the site, and I wish them all the best. It's kind of hilarious, though, in a slightly tragic way. And I genuinely hope that all things go well for them and everything is great. But the other thing that I didn't, I made a sort of passing suggestion because I was, what happened was that me and the other interns had split up into groups and the groups each had to pitch a particular thing. And what I wanted to suggest, I sort of threw out as a suggestion, talking to my boss and stuff like that, of like, this probably won't be my actual pitch, but here's as a sidebar, this is the thing that you guys should pursue, podcasting. This would be back in 2014? Was it 2014 that I did the work there, or was it 2013? No, it'd be 2014. I threw out, you know, podcasting is a thing because it's really, really cheap to do, and it's not the greatest, biggest numbers, stuff like that, but like, it'll get you dedicated listeners. And then of course that was the year that Serial blew up, was 6 months later after that. That was the big thing I was saying. It's like, man, that's a cool thing you could do. And that's especially, that's, this would be one of the handful of things you could do where you're not following BuzzFeed. You can get the drop on them. And I was like, and I also was saying, like, it's insane, BuzzFeed especially. I figured that this company wouldn't get around to doing it because they're cash-strapped and have a very small staff. And so to make people take the time out of their day to do a podcast would be difficult. But I was thinking, like, BuzzFeed, man, BuzzFeed has tons of people, has tons of money. The fact that, and they are much more geared as a media content creation place as opposed to this other website that is much more of an aggregator site. And if you're a content creation place, you have your own focus on YouTube. You have your own focus on creating web content, stuff like that. Podcast is a very, very natural thing. So I was sitting there being like, man, I hope that this site does it, but at the very least, BuzzFeed's got to do this. And then a few years later, BuzzFeed comes around, and BuzzFeed makes some excellent, excellent podcasts. They have their whole audio division that's being headed up by Jenna Weiss Berman, who's a winner of, or not a winner, I think she's a graduate or whatever the term is, of the Transom Storytelling Workshop. Actually, she shows up in my textbook for my radio class, which I was noticing. I was like, this is fun. It's the producer of the weird BuzzFeed podcast that I really like is in my textbook for my radio class. But anyway, BuzzFeed started doing podcasts, and one podcast that I love of theirs, is one called Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer is all about the weird, wacky, insane, gross, crazy shit that happens on the internet. And they talked a little while ago about someone who pretended to be a musician and just uploaded the MP3s of, oh, was it a Jennifer Lopez album? Something like that, as her own, and then sort of got found out. But the reason why there was a new episode that came back about this, that like this same person is going out doing the same thing and did it to Catherine McPhee, did Catherine McPhee songs. So long tangent on a tangent on a tangent about the one season of American Idol that I watched was the Catherine McPhee and Taylor Hicks season. Catherine McPhee should have won. Fuck Taylor Hicks. So I don't watch that many reality TV shows, but I did watch some a fair amount in the mid-2000s that were on. But I never watched The Bachelor. The Bachelor was never one of those. And I finally started watching it now. And I don't know. It seems like a very interesting cultural phenomenon on the reality show. I'm sure I'm the first person to ever pundit and pontificate about the reality television, but this was also sort of spurred on by the fact that I'd heard that the show Unreal was really good. I started watching The Bachelor, mostly because my friends are into it, and I was like, okay, sure, I'll give it a shot. And then this weekend, the show Unreal, which is a show that takes a fictionalized account of producers on a Bachelor-type TV show, and it's just so far just a one season show, but I think they're coming back for a second season, and it came to Hulu, all 10 episodes of it. And so I burned through it in, I think, 24 hours. I watched the whole of the show. And it's crazy and addictive and wonderful and great and perfect, insane soap opera drama. And Constance Zimmer, who plays one of the leads in it, is very, very quickly leaping further and further up in the running of being maybe my favorite actress, just period, because I've never seen her be less than perfect in anything that she's in. She's wonderful, she's wonderful. She was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a hot sec. She's one of the leads in Unreal. She was in, she was in House of Cards. Was she in the newsroom? She might have been. I'm going to move this because I keep fiddling with it and it makes a noise that I'm pretty sure that you can hear. It's a tape thing that was on my desk and I was fiddling around with it. Anyway, she is perfect and wonderful and just one of the greatest character actresses that I have seen in a long time, and makes anything that she's in that much better. But the rest of the cast is also pretty lovely and wonderful, and does a killer bang-up job on wacky, insane, crazy shit. But someone was talking, I've heard a lot of people use the term competence porn for a type of television that people like to watch, which is the idea of watching people who are good at their job and good at an interesting job do things that be good at it, do things well. And it's, I think that Unreal definitely falls into that. And so the shows that people tend to talk about when they're talking about that is a lot of procedurals. They talk about the show Sherlock, is very much about that. It's, you're like, ah, oh, you just get, yes, you go for the character drama and yes, you go for blah, 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 but a big part of why you watch that show is to watch Sherlock solve the mysteries. That same reason why you'd watch House is like, yeah, sure, it's fun and funny and interesting, stuff like that, but you also want to watch House solve it, watch House doctor it up. West Wing would sort of be like that. And that's what Unreal very much is you're watching these interesting people produce reality TV and make stories out of the drama that they're creating. And actually, that's something that I like about this show. I think going back to the podcast thing. Okay, this is a cool linkage that I didn't think about until just saying this, is that the show, when you think about like, oh, shows are produced and blah, 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 and you know, they're edited and stuff like that, or at least what I would have thought, if we're talking about like the ways in which reality TV is fake, is talking about the edit and how the edits, you know, you take all this footage and then you carefully collect it and construct it into a narrative that supports whatever it is that you're trying to say and whatever drama you're trying to do. And yes, that happens in the show, but the show much, 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 much more focuses on the pre-production, the planning, and the sort of improvisational nature of having to manipulate and control these people into doing things for you, and focuses way, way, way less on, like, you don't really see people in the edit room, partially because I think you're making a TV show. This is a TV show about a TV show, and I would much rather watch a TV show about people talking to each other and people manipulating each other than people sitting down in front of a computer and cutting together footage. Because editing is so boring to do. Editing is really boring to do, and infinitely more boring to watch. That being said, the whole reason that I ever started learning and getting better at video editing, and the entire reason that I started doing a YouTube vloggy thing, was because I did actually sit down and watch a video that Hank Green did called An Hour of Me Editing a Vlogbrothers Video, or something along those lines, and watched the whole dang thing. And that is 100% where I've learned to do, I mean, that and also years of experience now at this point, but that's why I'm actually very good at making Vlogbrothers style clip pulley videos. Hank did a challenge about a year ago of, here, I'm going to upload, just give you the raw footage of me recording a Vlogbrothers video. Vlogbrothers, if anyone for whatever reason doesn't know, John and Hank Green, they're YouTube people that make a YouTube channel, and they're fun and it's good. But here's the raw footage and you can do whatever you want with it. And so what I decided to do as a challenge is like, okay, I'm going to try and make this into a full-on Vlogbrothers style video to see how I'm using the actual source footage, see if I can make something that passes for the real thing. And it turned out actually pretty well. If I did it myself, and people complimented saying like, hey, yeah, you did it right. This feels exactly like the way that those would be edited. I'm like, ooh, yeah. But again, I don't know how to actually edit, you know, films or scenes or stuff like that. I can only edit jump cuts and for in a fast paced vloggy style. I mentioned last week also that, or 2 weeks ago now, YouTube thing about Star Wars that I'm doing with my friend, and it's almost done being edited. I need to do, right now I'm at the point where everything is edited except I need to go and pull clips from trailers and stuff like that and edit those clips in to the final thing. So I just need to do the media pass and then everything is done. But it takes so long to find and download and do the research half of things, and I just don't want to do it. Anyway, editing is boring. Watching people edit it is even boringer. But it's the same sort of thing that I talked about with the podcast thing of, I love the post-production, and I'm actually interested in doing post-production. I certainly like that sort of stuff. Actually, this weekend I had to do a post-production-y thing of a thing in radio called a quote-unquote Vox Pop or Vox Populi, or it's called a Vox Pop from the term Vox Populi, which is where you go out and do man-on-the-street things and edit it together into a little, like, collection of random people responding to whatever question it is you ask. And so I did that with my group, got the interviews, which is terrifying because it means I had to ask strangers, hey, can I talk to you? Which is not a thing that I like to do. Had to do that, and then I was in charge of doing the final edit. So one of the other group members did the, like, rough pass of, here's the clips we like, here's the clips that are sort of roughly cleaned up, but not very precisely. And then my job was like, okay, cool, they're in their order, I'll tweak the order a little bit, add in the music, do the actual editing, trim the ends of clips, make sure that there's room tone in between so that the clips blend seamlessly and don't sound like things are dropping out and stuff like that. Adjust levels and put effects on and make sure that people that talked way too quietly are still audible. If I'd had a few more days and then also we were allowed for this class to use a less garbagey audio editing program, then I could have made it significantly better, but whatever. Good enough for radio, I guess. So I like, long way of saying, I like editing, I like post-production, but I'm much more interested in the production of the live things, and that's the thing that Unreal gives me, is Unreal gives me that side of making things that I wouldn't have expected was a big there, but is much more the stuff that I am curious about and dig a lot of. The that's the other thing, this is the scary worrisome part, is I think part of it is because there's that competence porn element, is that I was watching and I was like, ooh, a part I understand intellectually and emotionally that the people, the producers who are the main characters that we're following, are kind of monsters and they hate their jobs and their job sucks and it's brutal and toiling and terrible. They have to do horrifically morally compromised things in order to get ahead in their system. But man, oh man, were there not moments there where I was like, ooh, that would be, I want to do that. I want to do that thing, because there's just enough of that, whatever pathic, whether socio or psycho, element of me that revels in that idea of like creating this thing from whole cloth, and here you have this world that is perfectly set up and you get to run and play with it and pull the string and stuff like that. It's not a healthy thing to want to do, but it's a thing. And again, intellectually, I know that nope, that's not just bad from a moral standpoint, but also would be a terrible job in real life, because it just would suck to have to work long hours for very little money. Because reality television is not union, so you don't get the same union protections that that working on scripted television gets you. So the more you know. The show is great. So first of all, I can recommend Unreal entirely. I think it's a very fun blast of a time. It gets me. It's really dark and really twisted, but it's good. And it, I'm curious, because this week will be the first time watching The Bachelor after having watched Unreal, and I wonder how that will change my enjoyment of things, because Unreal certainly goes crazy far and stuff, and the kind of things that I have to admit, I think, like, similar with House of Cards, of like, there's no way that can be real, it has to be fictional, and I'm okay with it being fictional, because, like, it's still a fun show, and it's a more fun show than it would be if it was 100% truthful, but whatever. That being said, I have heard it's actually based on some relatively true stories, and it's inspired by a short film that was... So that's the thing, it's inspired by a short film that was made by someone who used to work for The Bachelor. So who knows how true some of this crazy ass shit is. I mean, there's some stuff that clearly goes really far, and of like, there's things that happen on the show that have not happened on The Bachelor, because if they had happened on The Bachelor, you would know about it. I'm trying not to spoil things, because you should watch Unreal, it's fun. It's only 10 episodes, and it's addictive, so you can burn through it. I mean, also take your time to burn through it, but you'll burn through it quickly because you want to, because it's good. And Constant Zimmer is great. I lost the thread. The 10,000 thread count podcast. I'm curious to see how this will... So that's the thing, is I don't know how real it is, and unreal is, and it'll be interesting to see how that affects my thought processes and takeaways for watching the actual show, of like, is that going to be in the back of my head every time I'm watching this, of like, how produced was this? And like, because that always was a thing that was in my head, but it was very easy to still get into the fiction of like, I'm still watching it from a game-playing perspective of, like, come on, you're playing the game and figure it out. So I'm not playing it from the, like, you guys are going to fall in love with each other and believing in the love goofiness. But I also didn't have in the back of my mind it being remotely manipulated to the level which it is in the show, Unreal. This is getting confusing, because when I say the show, do I mean The Bachelor, do I mean Unreal, whatever. So I don't know. That'll be interesting. Maybe I'll get back to you guys on that, but that won't be a topic like it is this time. That'll be like the podcast talking was at the very beginning of the cold open intro to the crazy. But yeah, I think that's it. That'll do it for me. Not the least because we're hitting up on that half an hour mark. So, yeah. I could call to action. I haven't been doing that in the last few episodes of saying things like subscribe to it on your internet tunes and in your casting overs and all that such. But if you want to do that, that'd be cool with that. I'd be cool with you subscribing to it. I'd be cool with you listening to it. I'd actually be cool with you telling friends about it as well. But you don't have to. Certainly don't if you don't want to. You're listening. That counts for something. Yeah, that's what we gotta do. I did actually plan out an end song beforehand this time, so we're gonna rock and roll with I Wanna Be Alone With You. Oh, or we'll rock and roll with that car horn. No, we're gonna rock and roll with a band out of Seattle that I really dig called La Luz. They are a female surf rock, all-female sort of surf rocky band, and over the last couple of years have sort of been enshrined as, like, the best band to come out of Seattle. In the last few years, a term that I could certainly get behind. And they're fun. I saw them at Bumbershoot, which is Seattle's big music and arts festival that happens every Labor Day weekend. I saw them a few years ago at Bumbershoot, and they are a blast live. And they came out with two albums, I think, actually last year. But the only one that I've listened to is one called Weirdo Shrine, which was a very great album. Maybe I mentioned it as one of my either from 5 to 6... from 6 to 10 in the favorite albums of the year, or maybe just it was an honorable mention or something like that, but it's still very good. So this song is called I Want to Be Alone With You by La Luz from the album Weirdo Shrine. Get into it. Have a lovely rest of your week.